couple years ago, it's been several years, we prayed and fasted up here over our city, and God, Elder Dana really remembers the first part of that, and I want her to share, and then I'm going to go on into my message just about the history of the city. Okay.
When CrossFit was founded, the man that came, I can't call his name, but he wanted to build his logging company in Hamburg, and they said they didn't want that kind of atmosphere there because it would draw a lot of people that they thought to be unseemly. They just didn't want it over there, and he got angry, and so he set off on his own under an independent spirit and came here and, you know, blazed a trail and started CrossFit Company, which is what GP used to be. And because of that, he established his own kingdom, and he set up his own company store, and it even had his own money. He didn't even use government money. He used coins. You could only spend them there. And that's what he gave his people. And he built them houses, all the little square houses in CrossFit that looked the same. Those are the original GP houses that were part of his kingdom. Well, because he operated that way, the whole city is divided into kingdoms. It caused, you know, everything is enclosed within itself. That's why the churches are so closed in and won't. It's hard to cross boundaries, cross barriers, and they don't want to help one another and all that kind of stuff. We have, there's one person in charge, and, you know, they want everybody to do for them, and they're afraid to lose people. Well, that's because of, that was the way our city was founded. Well, in that fast, he was also a Mason, so that was in the foundation of our city. And in that fast, we pulled that down. And so the week before that happened, the building up on Main Street, y'all know, next to where Spikes used to be, is an empty lot right now. That used to be the original Masonic building. And about a week before that, our fast, it burnt to the ground. And Pastor Eileen said it was prophetic. So now it's completely destroyed. They've ripped up everything down to, there's a few tile you can see on the ground. But that was destroyed. And we have seen from that the, what's the name of this now? The spirit that stands guard. Territorial spirit in that. That stands guard and doesn't allow anything to come in its kingdom. And it takes ownership, and that's what he did. And so now we've been against that. And it causes, because he wanted it all, he wanted to be wealthy. He did set his people up, but a territorial spirit causes poverty because it doesn't let anybody have a dream. It doesn't let anybody grow, and it's just set, it's rigid, and it wants you to do and give to it, but it don't want to give you anything, you know. It wants to take it all for itself and set up its kingdom and just take it and take the glory and take whatever you have to give it. And so that's where we're at now. It's coming against that and tearing down those walls. And we went uptown the other day and got to pray over our city, and it was so exciting. We prayed at Centennial Park and praying for unity, and it's just exciting because we can see the enemy is, he can't stay, you know, he just can't stay. When we find him out and we find out what, in prayer, that's how we find it out. You get in the spirit, and Pastor had that working in her. God starts revealing things, and we get in the spirit, and that is the most exciting thing in the world, to get to pull down a stronghold. And if you haven't ever experienced it, I would encourage you, because it develops your spiritual eyesight and your hearing. And then when you go out in the community, you're not just looking at people. You see inside. You see need. And you see, you know, we start operating with eyes of the Spirit, and we can walk like Jesus walked. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. So somebody say, the barrel never runs dry. So what started this prayer was last Monday or Tuesday. I can't remember the day now. But I just had, well, we prayed over it some Sunday before we went to minister Sunday night. against territorial spirits. And I could see two women, names don't matter, but I could see two women that were going to be there, that were going to fight, and we're going to judge, and we're going to be sarcastic about my preaching, and just, and we pulled it down, and they wasn't there. So we do have power over the enemy. We have power in spiritual wickedness in high places has to come down. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. And that pastor said he has not experienced that kind of presence here yet. That was the first time, and I knew he was talking about that miracle realm because he's used to that where he's from. And he said, it's hard here. It's hard here. And he said, because Honduras is 70% Christian. So they experience, you know, the free flow of the Spirit of God all the time. But if we really got down to it, how many Christian in CrossFit that really serve Jesus? I'm not talking about say I'm saved. I'm talking about where he's Lord. Because there's a difference. So the more fire that spreads and the more the atmosphere is opened, and then it's easier for the Spirit of God to, it's easier for the miracles and things to happen. And he did see that, and he was excited about it. But I just want to thank y'all for going and supporting me. I think we filled up one whole half of the church. Okay. Thank you for that. Amen. So that day is where we were hitting that, because I've visited several churches lately just going past territorial boundaries, because I definitely don't want to have any of me. And so I would ask Cindy to go, because sometimes I don't know, you know, the church, so I don't invite everybody. But I asked her to go with me to a few, and there's 20 or 30 in most of them. And Brother Kim Brewer counted churches in Ashley County, and there was a few in Bastrop that he counted, and there was 99. Wow. 99. And we still hadn't took the city. So I said, God, 99, 20 and 30 people here, 20, 30 people here. 20. God, help us to come together. Even if we don't have the same pastor, we could come together in the city and take land instead of being territorial and dividing and separating and not coming to your thing. I just want you to come to my thing. Amen. God, we just thank you for stripping that thing down and stripping it out of our city, God. We give you praise for it, Lord. Thank you for showing us how to tear the walls down, God. We give you praise for it, God. We thank you for it. We thank you, Jesus. So my first scripture I want to share about that is Luke 11. We shared it at the prayer the other day. Luke 11, verse 21. When a strong man armed, somebody say, oh, there's the scripture for a strong man. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and he divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattering. So that shows us right there that they're strong men. But in verse 20 it says, the finger of God cast out devils. So a couple of weeks or last week we talked about the power of God is within us. The power is within you to cast out devils. The power is within you not to allow territorial spirits to stay in your city and creep in the church to where this is my job and you can't get in and you can't be a part because this is mine and I'm going to protect it. That's territorial, right? So we're just going to tear him down today by talking about him, okay? First Kings, and you'll see maybe where this will help us in our lives, because the barrel never runs dry. Amen? First Kings chapter 16, verse 34, it's just talking about before Elijah comes, there was a godly foundation. And then Ahab comes on the scene, and he builds altars to Baal. It's just like what she said. Even if Christians were here and they wanted this city to be a godly city, when these men came and set up their strongholds, set up their way of living, and said, you're not going to eat or you're not going to buy groceries unless you come through me. Because one of them, that's the way it was. You couldn't buy houses. You couldn't do anything unless you came through that man and through his things. And so even if there were Christians here, when spirits come, unless a stronger one than the spirit takes over, then the spirit takes over, right? So if Christians don't do anything, if they just sit back and let things come in to their city or their schools or into their nation or in their home, then the enemy gets to just take over and have a field day. He gets to do what he wants to do. So the other day we went up there and we came against this spirit and we walked on the Masonic ground, which is nothing but dust and ashes and bricks that are broken. But it's time to rebuild on that ground now. It's time to build the kingdom of God in this area. Build the city back up in this area. We don't have to stay desolate and hungry and in famine and in void and with 99 churches and go to Walmart and you say, Jesus, people look at you funny. That's a famine land. But we're going to build on that because we're tearing down the territorial spirits. Amen. How do you know you hit him? Because he came to see me. I'm going to get real. He came to see me. You know what his name was? His name was Hunger. And he didn't like us coming against him in this area because he likes people to be in famine. He likes there to be a hunger spiritually and physically. But Matthew 5 says, blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. So God showed me this word that I'm going to share with you in a minute, because they always went to God first, and that's why their barrel never ran dry. They always went to him first. So when hunger was standing by my bed, you say, you seen principalities? Yeah, I've seen about 4 principalities. And this one didn't scare me, you know, little, because I was by myself. But I got on up, and I said, in the name of Jesus, get out. Right. But he was a thin, sandy, blonde-looking kind of, you know, be, I guess, a nice-looking man. But he represented hunger. And he followed me home from the Masonic Lodge because we were messing with his kingdom. Yeah. He followed me home because he's like, somebody's going to come in this area and challenge me. I've been here this many years, and you think you're going to bring something besides famine? You think you're going to allow something else to come through here besides desolation? You think you're going to bring something else besides hunger? You think you're going to get people out of being physically hungry and spiritually hungry? And I said, I don't think it, I know it in the name of Jesus. I know it. It, I know it. You don't come to my house, you don't want to fight, devil. So I spent since that night in prayer against hunger. And the kids are sending out turkeys and we're giving food. Well, you know, so are they, but they do it for their name. They do it for their glory, to look good in the community, and we're doing it for Jesus Christ. So hunger didn't like that. Somebody say hunger didn't like that. Hunger wants the barrel to be dry. So people thinks there is no God. Hunger wants us to be beggars. So we can say, where is God? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the God of miracle? Hunger wants us to be barren in the church, not have enough of this or that. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about anything. Hunger makes us take everything for ourselves because we don't want to be hungry again. So what I just saw in prayer this morning, one reason there's famines in churches, not enough intercessors, you know, not enough laborers. The Bible says that. It says, pray therefore, laborers, because the harvest is white, but the laborers are few. One of the reasons there's famine in a lot of churches, because hunger's there, and people draw it in for themselves. And until we're given out, then we're taking, if we have a hunger mentality, thinking that we're not going to ever have enough, thinking that the barrel's dry, the barrel's never enough, it don't have enough in it, so I got to store everything I get. I got to store the life of God for myself. I got to keep that praise in me. I got to keep that worship for me. I got to keep that money for me. I got to keep that food in my pantry for me, because there's not enough. But that's not what God said. He said the barrel will never run dry. In the name of Jesus, we pour you down. You spirit of famine, you spirit of hunger, you got to go. Got to go. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled. 1 Kings, let me go back to it. I'm going to read you a story about Elijah. Thank you, Jesus. The kids are doing a drama about being a star today. And you know, if people are doing anything for glory, for their self, then they want to be the star. The other day, when we were up there praying, Brother Kim Brewer asked me that I want to ride home, and it bothered him that I drove myself. Well, you know, some people get upset at those things, but I told Elder Dana and Elder Robert, I told him, no, I didn't need a ride, and then they invited me to eat. And I said, but if you want your own kingdom, you'd be saying, yeah, take me here, take me there. But the Spirit of God, I just listen to what he says. If he says, Brother Jack, get him to take you, do this, then I'll do it. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Not some man or woman standing behind a pulpit, but he needs a vessel. So everybody that has authority is not trying to be better than everybody else. I just do what he says. I just, if he tells me to do this or let this one do that, then there's a purpose behind it. Amen? So 1 Kings 16, we see in verse 32 and verse 34, y'all can read that at home, where they had set up, it was set up godly, but here come Ahab, and he marries Jezebel, and they did more wickedness in that land than ever been seen. They set up an altar for Baal. They made a temple for Baal. They made a wooden image for Baal. So they weren't ashamed of setting up their kingdom in the midst of God's kingdom. What is setting up my kingdom in the midst of his kingdom? It's when I take the glory. God said, I don't share my glory with another man. So if people are feeding people, but they're getting the glory, or if people are pointing you to a person instead of to Jesus Christ, then that's when it starts getting dangerous, because that is wanting our own kingdoms. Amen? So here comes a prophet of God out of nowhere. The Bible says he just showed up. Elijah just shows up. Chapter 17, verse 1. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these 3 years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and go to the brook, and I'll feed you there. So God was still in control, because he's feeding Elijah and telling him where to go get fed. But Elijah's, you know, when Ahab's ruling, it looks prosperous. But here comes the prophet of God, says, I command it not to rain anymore. I command it to be a famine here. Because we're going to see whose God is real. Because Baal represented the God of the storm and the God of the rain, the God of the dew and the God of the rain. And Elijah said, it's not going to rain. And we're going to see whose God's real here. So the prophet of God declared it and it didn't rain. Amen? But then the ravens fed him. And they gave him something to eat every morning and every night. And then when that brook dried up because there was no rain, somebody say the barrel dries up when there's no rain. There's a famine in the land when there's no rain. So when it's drying up, he said, Elijah, he said, I want you to go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, here's God again. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Who's in control of the land? Baal or God? These other people are in famine. Elijah's getting sustained. But he's also sending Elijah to help this widow woman, because this widow woman was at the end of her barrel. She only had one more cake, and then her son was going to die. So it wasn't just for Elijah to be fed. God was sending her in to feed them and to show them how for their barrel never to run dry. So the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go. This widow is going to sustain you. So he arose. I love Elijah because he didn't ever question God. Amen. He arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, somebody say the gate of the city. The prophet of God came to the gate, and he said, it's not going to rain. You think this God's going to rule here? You think that you're going to be able to come in and draw everything for yourself? You think that you're going to be able to build your own kingdoms in the city and that we're just going to keep letting it happen? You think you're going to keep dividing and separating the church and we're just going to stand by and let territorial demons have our city? So the Elijahs are rising up. Elijahs are rising up in Freedom Ministries, and we're saying we're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow territorial spirits to come in and take over our land and keep everybody else in famine and everything going to one man, one woman. We're not going to allow that anymore in the name of Jesus. So he went to the gate of the city. God gives his prophets the keys to the city. He said, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called for her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God lives, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. And a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. So was their barrel dry? Somebody say the barrel's never going to run dry. What do you think that lady was thinking? Okay, we can take this for ourselves. We can use up all this glory for us, and we can sit here and die and let our city be in famine, let our city be in waste, let our city be desolate, or we can give to God first, or we can pour it back out, or we can give wherever we can give. Amen? Elijah said to her, fear not. Because when a prophet comes, they give you a word and they tell you, don't fear. Yes. Because if you do what I'm saying, if you live a life of submission, if you live a life of surrender, then you don't have to worry about things like people that don't submit. Because people that don't submit don't have a covering. Amen? Amen. Elijah said to her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me a cake first. That'd be real hard. To tell you to make me a cake when that was your last cake. And bring it unto me, and I'll after make for me, then you make for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Somebody say it'll never run dry. Neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Elijah never was the one that was telling it not to rain. It was the Lord doing all the commanding. He was the one saying, feed him, feed her, you do this, you do that. But it's because he had a prophet of God that let him come through there and do it. He had Elijah's voice. He had Elijah's hands. He had Elijah's feet. And Elijah didn't try to be the star. Elijah was a star. He's calling down fire from heaven. He was standing against Baal. He was raising dead people, but he was always pointing them towards Jesus Christ. He was never pointing towards himself. So if you're in music, or if you're in teaching, or if you're in word, or if you're just, you know, not just anything, but a layperson, always point them to him. Always, don't ever push yourself. The Bible said, prefer one another. So we always push somebody else. And how many know Elijah could have been a star, but he laid it all down and gave credit to God. And every time he gave credit to God, another miracle happened. Every time he gave credit to God, the barrels never ran dry. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 16, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. Why did it not fail? Because she listened to the prophet of God. I'm not talking about just listening to anybody. I'm talking about listening to somebody that prays, somebody that stands in the gate, somebody that says, look, famine wants to stay here, but we have power to drive him out. If he wouldn't have bothered him, he wouldn't try to come see me. He wouldn't have visited me if he wasn't, you know. And he didn't have any power. He was already weak because he's hungry. He's already weak because we already pulled him down. He's already, you know, skinny. He just wanted to let me know that he still wanted to stand his territory. And all I had to do was say in the name of Jesus, everything in heaven and earth and under the earth shall bow down to that name. He has power over all principalities. All. And we drive hunger out of our city. We drive hunger out. We drive famine out. We drive disease out. Somebody say the barrel never runs dry. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So she gave him the cake. She gave him the cake first. And the Bible says, if we seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added unto us. How do you get your barrel not to run dry? You follow after him first. Don't try to meet the need in your flesh. Take it to God in prayer. I know that gets easily said, but I take it all to God in prayer. And I tell him, God, I praise you. I just thank you, Lord. God, I see this city. I see that the enemy came in and he set up kingdoms for Baal. He set up kingdoms for hunger. He set up kingdoms for famine. But I also see you're sending prophets through your land to say we're not going to just stand by and let you take over our area and keep that stronghold and keep that place. Because if we do, then we're going to be hungry. If we do, we're going to be in famine. If we do, then GP and everything else will fall. You listen to my words today. If we don't take authority over this spirit of hunger that's come in years ago to try to make us be a desolate country, and we don't stand our ground and push him out every time you go down the road, say, you don't have any power here, hunger. Every time you see somebody on the side of the road hungry, stop and give them something to eat. Do something opposite of that spirit. Every time that spirit tells you to keep everything for yourself, then you give it out. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Some of you wonder, well, I can't drive because I can't face principalities and drive. Amen. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. There's no famine in him. There's no lack in him. There's no not enough in him. Not enough's not even in his vocabulary.
Amen.
Have you seen the trees today? Have you seen the flowers? Have you seen the ocean? That he had to command it not to go past the burial. He had to say, that's enough. He had to set up boundaries in the heavens. Someone said the other day that, you know, as a mighty man of God, he takes territory and takes land. He said he's wondering what else he's going to take. And God told him that the galaxies hadn't been taken. You know, all that up there, who's gonna be up there in leadership? He's pretty much saying, you know, just keep on taking territory. Because look up to the heavens. Is anybody taking the moon yet? In other words, that there's never not enough land to take. There's never, we don't have to be thinking we have to keep everything and there's not enough for everybody else. And we can't go to this revival because they might go to their church. I think we'll seat about 300 in here. And I think there's like 5,000 in the city of CrossFit, so we need other churches. Amen?
Amen.
God, we just give you praise for it. Somebody say the barrel's never going to run dry. So what happens after she feeds the prophet of God first? The barrel never ran dry. So then verse 19, what happens when she seeks God first? And she seeks him for her physical need. And verse 19 says, and he said unto her, and he took his son, her son, because her son had died. And she went to God first. And she said, my son died. And she went to the prophet first instead of going to everybody else. And said, here, what you going to do with him? I trusted you one time. Now I'm going to give you my son. And Elijah laid on top of him three times till he came back to life. So after she learned how to operate, that her barrel would never run dry by giving to God first, then the miracles started happening for her. She didn't have to bury her son that day. She could take him to the prophet of God. And God healed that son and raised him from the dead because she learned the key of how to seek God first. So her barrel would never run dry. And to take it to the prophets and to the, back then they took it to the prophet. They didn't go to God, you know, first by themselves. They took it to the prophets. And now you can go to Jesus through Jesus Christ by yourself because he's your prophet. He's your prophet. He's your high priest. You can take it to the Lord in prayer and say, you've given me access to the Father by the Holy Ghost. And I show you my son right now, and he's in famine.
That's right.
He don't have a job. He needs money. He's spiritually dead, God, and I'm just going to lay him at your feet. I don't have to get somebody else to do it because I can come to you myself. I can come to you myself. I can come to you myself. And when I come to you, my barrel's never going to run dry. When I come to you, there's going to be more and more and more. If I go to them, they might run out, but you're not going to ever run out. Yes. Can you sing that song, The Famine Is Over? We agree? Okay, they're going to sing this little song. You just want to come to the altar and let God work on us this morning. Somebody say, my barrel's never going to run dry. Because I'm going to seek God first. Amen.
Seek God first. We believe.